In your 20s, you think you know everything. You come into the world with a chip on your shoulder, but that chip is also what makes you hungry. I had something to prove. I was good. I was really good. Then I fucked it all up.
Is this a joke?
What's a joke?
You leaving me a note telling me to meet you at the geriatric.
Not at all. This place is easy, accessible. They don't kick you out for talking to yourself, which is crucial in this profession. Sit down. You hungry?
No, not here now. I prefer my food to be cooked by a proper chef.
You don't like people on minimum wage?
Mr. Jones, I'm a sous chef. I cook and get paid on minimum wage.
Well, listen, I'll give you double what they're paying you at the Grand. You're better than them.
I don't want to work at a place that uses too much salt, too much fat, and uses cheap cuts of meat.
You just described most French peasant dishes. What you should have said is that this place is too consistent, and consistency is death.
Consistency, Mr. Jones, is what every great chef strives for.
I mean, consistent in experience, yes, but not in taste. It's like sex, you know? You're headed to the same place, but you need new, exciting, dangerous ways of getting there.
I wish I could say that it was great meeting you here, but I'm very happy with where I'm at.
Now, the chip is still there, but you're friends with it. It's become familiar now. It's transformed into your armor. In this video, I want to share 5 lessons I've learned from my 20s now that I'm 30 years old.
I'm like, now I know he's my target. Like, I'm gonna fucking kill him. Like, I don't even need to be with you. Like, I don't even want you, but I'm gonna kill that guy anyway, just for sport.
The first lesson is this. Your sexual market value has a huge effect on how people treat you. You should dedicate enormous efforts to maximizing it. About 2 years ago, I had this YouTuber, Wheat Waffles, this black pill YouTuber, do an analysis of my face. He literally scientifically broke down how sexy I was. And he gave me a 5 out of 10. He marked 2 reasons for this. One, because I'm Indian American, and it's just been, I guess, shown in research on dating apps that Indian American men get the least amount of engagement on dating apps in the West. There is a preference for white guys, or basically the guys who are in tribe on average when it comes to dating. And the second reason is because my body fat percentage was too high. And so he said my features were obscured. I had sort of like a roundish face back then. I have to admit that my experience, both with women and the world at large, it felt like a 5 out of 10. It felt like I was middle of the pack or maybe slightly behind. And as a result, I had a much harder time. And I have to say, just leaning out, doing the half of the equation that he gave me advice over, which is to get as lean as possible, has made a huge difference in how I present and the way the world treats me. We're often afraid to admit how much luck and good looks matter in the way people read us and how superficial the world really is at large. Even for my own YouTube videos, I now work extremely hard to make videos that are scripted from a very true place. In my recent videos, the number one comment that I actually get is about my features. It's like from dudes telling me, hey man, you look a lot sharper these days. Something really unique happens when you present yourself as best as you can.
But we've never done a street interview before.
I've never been interviewed on the street before.
We're both out here on the streets. We're so thug right now. Damn.
There's so much we can do in terms of our efforts to be the best version of ourselves and to at least present ourselves as attractively as possible.
It's like Indian guys get the least amount of engagement on dating apps. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't either, because I get so many fucking matches all the time. It's crazy.
And because this is kind of a strenuous thing to do, you will actually stand out if you work hard at your appearance, if you work hard at your looks. And though this point may seem incredibly superficial, we have to admit that the world is incredibly superficial. And so we have to see the world and respond to the world as it is. I think a good degree of your SMV can be affected, you know, despite race, despite height. Maybe you have genetics that make you go bald young, whatever it might be, you should still try to squeeze out everything you can from your looks. I would imagine it takes around 3 to 4 years of dedication to fitness to really maximize your physique and by extension, your looks. Acknowledge the superficiality to the game that is life and know that there's no way out of it either. Some people say, oh, you know, I don't care about the superficial things. That's just you trying to opt out of the game. You can't opt out of the game because you're in it. It's all around you. This game that is life, it is around you, it is within you. And so you have to play it. You have no choice. And were I to enter my 20s again, this is an area of life that I would attack with full force. The second lesson from my 20s is that you need a brotherhood. A rising tide raises all the boats. I'm not sure how it happened, but now I am surrounded by men that I admire. Most of the people who are in my tribe, they're on my team. It's this really remarkable, amazing energy that is in my life now. Honestly, it feels like season one of Peaky Blinders, where the house just has like this rock and roll vibe to it. Everyone's just serious and working towards something. And every day we're plotting on how to take over Minneapolis and the world at large. We're like Robin Hood and his band of merry thieves. My biggest insight from this season of my life is the realization that I've actually been incredibly lonely for the last 10 years. I mean, I've had roommates in the past, I've had girlfriends, I've had people come in and out of my life, I've interacted with the world, I've gone on a lot of dates over the last 10 years, but I've been really lonely. And the reason for this is because I didn't have a brotherhood. I didn't have a tribe.
I'm in a position in life where I can either focus on the main thing or get back to everyone. Can't have both. You know, people will get mad. That's what I came to realize, you know.
Yeah. It's not that people will get mad, let's just set expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is a very lonely country. It's like the infrastructure of the way the streets are and the way people interact with each other. We have these houses with fences and walls up between people. I mean, I haven't interacted with any of my neighbors, and I've been living at this place for 3.5 years. And it goes even deeper than that. You can have friends, you can have like connections, you can chat with some random dude at a bar. But it doesn't feel like your tribe. It doesn't feel like you're surrounded by men who would elevate you. And having that in your life is really just so powerful. It is this deeply motivating, energizing, invigorating thing where you suddenly start to believe that so much in life, it's actually possible. Maybe you put in a 10-hour day at work, 12-hour day, and you're just feeling a little burned out. Maybe you want to eat a little ice cream and you just want to snooze. You kind of want to call it quits with life and work for that day. And then your buddy just listens to your problems, listens to what's been going down. And he says, you know what? Put on some nice clothes. We're going out tonight. Whatever it might be. This last weekend, one of my coaching clients and newfound friends, Evan, he visited me and he pointed out the same thing, where in his late 20s and beyond, he had to sort of seek out men who were doing badass things, who were impressive, who were getting after it in life, and who could be a part of his life. And this is the hardest thing to do, but you need that tribe that just speaks to you. You need the bros in your life. It's like the best feeling when you have guys you can lean on.
You know what's funny though? I'm preferring this cell phone to the, literally I got both shots. Yeah, I'm preferring this. Dang, dude, you're looking fresh.
The best advice that I can give you in this regard is that you should make content. Because when you make videos or when you just create any kind of presence on a social platform of your choosing, like-minded people find you. The people who come across your work, they actually care about what you're doing and they care about your message. They resonate with you from the get-go. I mean, it definitely is true that without the YouTube channel, I would have had a much harder time finding my tribe. And the other one is buy coaching programs, attend seminars, join organizations. That's what the other go-getters are doing. When people come and they revolve themselves around a particular project, a particular action, those people, you'll resonate with a lot more. It's a much deeper connection than simply grabbing drinks with someone at the bar. You know, we were made to do the hunt together. We were made to build things together. That's an incredibly empowering feeling. And I wish I would have done everything I could. Honestly, in my early 20s, I had like $6,000 in my bank account at all times. One goal I'd set for myself was to get to $10,000 in my bank account. I was like, dang, that would be amazing. I wish I would have blown all of that money to take like whatever it might be, an acting program, join a coaching program, fly to a seminar somewhere, get in the mix of people who could inspire me, because that community, that network, that tribe, it would have taken me much, much further, much sooner than just sitting in my bank account. Principle 3, paying your dues is not a thing, but self-education is. The other day, I agreed to a podcast interview. Normally, I say no to such things, but there was a young guy who runs a great video agency here in Minneapolis. His name's Chase, and the agency is called Bloom Creative. And so I sat down with him for an hour-long conversation, and I asked him what one of his goals was. He told me he was waiting for that Jeep moment. Basically, his dream client is Jeep. And he said, 10 years from now, he wants to be a commercial director for Jeep. And I've had similar goals in the past. And I told him, you know, it's not necessarily that the goal is 10 years away. It's just that you don't know what you need to do to become someone worthy of Jeep being your client. It's knowledge that's holding you back, not paying your dues. In Hollywood, there's the idea of work that is above the line and below the line. Above the line is anyone who does creative work, the director, the producer, the writer, the talent, the actors in the movie. And below the line is everyone who's technical. The gaffers, the electricians, costume designers, makeup, the people who basically provide food for everyone on set. All of that is below the line. Many people who start out in their careers, they take positions that are below the line. They are the coffee boy, for instance, on a film set or in the company that they're in. They're the intern. But it is not necessarily the position that is below the line that is going to get you where you want to be in life. In fact, below the line careers usually have nothing to do with above the line. What would get you above the line is to place yourself above the line from the get-go. Anyone who you might admire, especially in the creative space, they place themselves above the line from the get-go. Christopher Nolan, he had 6,000 pounds and he threw all of it onto a feature film, a self-produced feature film made for, you know, very little money. His mom would provide sandwiches for the actors on set, and he called himself a director from the get-go. He placed himself above the line from the get-go, because when you put yourself in an above-the-line role, you educate yourself. You create a curriculum around your life and your life's work that is very true. But when you allow yourself to be below the line, you actually are never able to rise up the ranks. You're never able to pay your dues. So there's no way to pay your dues and eventually become a commercial director for Jeep or whatever your dream brand might be. The only way is to put yourself on a self-education curriculum that would make you worthy of that dream client. And this was a realization that took me 10 years to get to, because I thought, you know, if I want to shoot a commercial for Porsche, or if I want to be a working actor or working director, I need to slowly inch my way up until people give me access to the next leg up. And then finally, I'll get what I deserve 10, 20 years from now. That's not how it works. You have to become that person from the get-go. And it feels a little strange at first. Maybe it feels like you're faking it till you make it. It's actually just putting yourself on a journey of immense self-education. With whatever you want to achieve in life, there's probably 5 to 7 things that you need to learn to an 8 out of 10 degree, or a 9 out of 10 degree, or a 10 out of 10 degree. But you need to increase your mastery probably in just 5 to 7 frontiers to become worthy of that thing. And instead of working on paying your dues, what you should do is put all of your energy into figuring out what those things are and then learning how to get good at those things as soon as possible.
Yeah, half the stuff we're making up, dude. Like, honestly.
It's here. I want to take a quick little pause and a break to talk about my YouTuber Academy, because this philosophy of getting good at the 5 to 7 key ingredients of success is how I run my coaching program. I've now had numerous people who've climbed through my YouTube coaching program. They went from 200 subscribers to over 10,000. A few have had cascading growth past that.
I think what makes Nikhil such a good coach is that he makes you realize what your next bottleneck is as a YouTuber. And by tackling each bottleneck and turning it from a weakness to a strength, some magic happens. And I think that's what happened with my channel, because I wasn't seeing any results for months. And then all of a sudden, I jump from 1,000 to 10,000 subs in the span of a month. Manoj will help you build a successful business backend that will make you an even greater YouTuber for years to come.
There's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson that I really adore. It says, "Do the thing and you shall have the power." This 100% applies to YouTube as well. If you learn what it takes to become a successful YouTuber and you work on those key skills, you eventually get to a point where people watch your video, they watch your content, and they think, this guy just makes fucking bangers. Like, of course he gets views. You want to be someone who people can't really steal from or can't really study that well, because when they watch your video, they just think to themselves, well, of course this guy blew up. Of course this person's channel succeeded. They're fucking amazing. And being fucking amazing, it's a learnable skill. So if you're someone who wants to climb to 100,000 subscribers and beyond and build out a successful business side to your channel, there's an application in the description box. You can apply for coaching with me today. Check out the link in the description. Principle 4, life has momentum accelerators and momentum killers. In my 20s, I wish I would have cut out all of the momentum killers. The momentum accelerators, the ones that push your life forward to the next level as fast as possible, I have found those things are sleeping enough, like getting great sleep, meditating up to 1 hour a day is not time wasted when it comes to meditation. Both of those things allow you to access your subconscious mind more fully, and you just have all these creative insights that really help you just make better decisions almost by accident. I wish I would have prioritized those things a lot more in my 20s, because honestly, I spent a lot of my days sleep deprived, driving around in LA traffic. And the last one is semen retention, NoFap. I do feel for a man, sexual transmutation infuses into your work, especially when paired with good sleep and meditation. It's something that turns you into a deeply potent person. There were eras in my life where I did such a good job of building up good streaks of sexual discipline and working with that, and I've just felt this incredible acceleration. Just all these good happenstances were happening all the time. People were just, like, almost without me trying, coming into my life. There is the law of attraction, where you sort of visualize what you want and you sort of look for it out in the world. But then you also can turn yourself, your own body, into this attractive force field. And these things just genuinely come into your life more fully when you practice some of these disciplines. They're so simple, they're so bare bones, but when's the last time you went a full month where you prioritized your sleep, you meditated at least 20 minutes a day, and you know, you cultivated a deep amount of sexual discipline in your life? That weeds out 99.99% of guys who do all of those things. The momentum killers, on the other hand, are alcohol, porn, and people who are fucking stupid. The last one you gotta be especially careful of, because the wrong people, they'll just eat up years of your life for no good reason. You'll wonder where those years went. So there is a lot that happens when it comes to your success and progress as a man that is energetic. We are energetic beings to a good degree. And so you should actually just master these fundamentals of your energy. Sleep enough, meditate, cultivate sexual discipline, cut out the bullshit, especially the bullshit people who hold you back, who don't have that killer instinct inside them, and you will just watch your life naturally, almost accidentally, almost through a sense of like good fortune and good luck, just shoot forward. The last idea I want to share with you then is that at first nothing happens, then everything happens all at once. So much of the time in your 20s, you feel like you're doing things wrong. I think that's just the nature of being young and trying in the world. You feel like, man, why am I not doing better? I mean, I'm working hard, I'm working out, I am trying to do some of the things that people like Captain Sinbad say in his videos, and yet nothing is happening. But what you find is that it happens all at once. You know, a lot of success and things in life, even the failures that you face, they happen under the current, they happen under the surface, and then one day, you fucking pop off all at once. Whatever it might be, your construction business, your window washing company. So many people I've met at 29 or 30, they were unsuccessful. And then suddenly at 31, everything took off. In fact, a number of my clients now are multimillionaires, you know, 35, 36, 37, with a net worth of like $7 million, $10 million. I look at these people like they're like insane superheroes. One of my clients closed a $40 million deal like a month ago. And I was like, $40 million. Like, imagine saying some words that causes someone to part with $40 million. But one realizes once you can sell something for $20 and you develop the sales skills to maybe sell something for $20, $100, even $1,000, there's not that much of a difference psychologically between the $100 sale and the $40 million sale. I know that sounds absolutely insane to say, but these things, they compound on themselves. You know, sales skills, skills around your presentation, your knowledge in the minutia of different industries, it all just keeps building. And so if you do feel like you're doing the right things, but you're not seeing results, you want to put all of your attention on the inputs and your processes and not the outputs. Any result in life that we're going after is just a result of the inputs and the processes that have come thus far. And so if you're waiting for an output, stop looking at it. Like, don't look at the output directly. Just look at the input and the process. And maybe you don't know how to tweak the process. So then that's when coaching comes in, or self-education comes in. The right book, the right audiobook, the right podcast. You keep working on the process, and then you just apply as much pressure as you can to the input. And if you do those things, input, process, keep refining, one day it feels like the output, that goal that you were working towards, it comes all of a sudden. You know, it takes 10 years to realize that, damn, everything I was doing from 20 to 30, it's actually paying off now. All the stuff that I was doing right is finally paying off. I didn't see it for so long. And the handful of things that I wasn't doing right, I can sort of feel the impact of that as well. So if you're not seeing results immediately, devote yourself to those inputs and the processes of what you're working on, and it'll make the journey, that journey that is actually painful and difficult, it'll actually make it a process of joy and character building. If you're new to the channel, my name is Nick Hill. This channel is a combination of video essays, and now we are actually delving back in to the occasional comedy sketch. So if you like what you saw here, consider subscribing. But with that being said, for those of us who devote ourselves completely to inputs, processes, and life's momentum accelerators, to us I say greatness is coming. Cheers.